Hey, good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody here this morning. Got a little bit more balance, Kevin, but not much. Everybody's over here. It's funny. Hope everybody's having a good day so far, and we'll look forward to having a good worship service here this morning as we come together to sing songs of praise to God and study from His Word. Brother Bobby is out of town today, so our service today is going to be like we had here a handful of months ago, where Kevin and I are going to be kind of going back and forth with a theme and some thoughts and some songs to go along with that, with those thoughts as well. So I hope you brought your singing voices, because we're going to be doing a lot of singing today. Again, before we get started, just be mindful of all of our loved ones that we're praying for, that we're mindful of. We have a few that are traveling. I know, again, Brother Bobby and Deborah and Hunter are traveling, and some are having to stay home because of health concerns. So just be mindful of everybody that we may not see here. We have heard from some that just have been exposed to some things. They just want to make sure they stay safe and keep everybody else safe. So they're going to sit it out today. So again, it's good to see all of you all here today, and everybody that's able to join us online as well. Before we get started this morning, if you would bow with me for a word of prayer, please. Oh, hold on. What you got? You did? No. Well, congratulations on your job. And I'm going to hate to see you go like that, but that is good. Good for the job, so congratulations with that. So soak up showing all you can here. That's good. All right. Would you bow with me for a prayer, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the day that you blessed us with, and we're thankful for the time to we have to be here this morning to be able to gather one another, lift up our thoughts and our voices to praise and worship you, dear Lord. We're mindful of our loved ones that can't be here today. Please be with them and give them strength to get through whatever situation they're having to get through, dear Lord, whether it's physical or spiritual. Help us to be there for them, and please let them know that and have the confidence to know that we love them and we miss them, and to know that you love them, dear Lord, and you are with them and will guide them through these times, dear Lord. Again, please be with all of our loved ones that are traveling as well, dear Lord. Help them to have safe trips. With the holiday seasons coming up, there'll be a lot of people traveling. Please be with them. And as Brother Sean's going to be leaving us soon, please be with him and help him in his travels as he begins to move and will be beginning a new job. Give him the strength that he'll need to be away from his family, but to be able to succeed at his job and this next step in his life, dear Lord. Again, be with us here this morning as we worship you in spirit and in truth, and help us to focus our minds on the thoughts or the words that will be spoken here today. Thank you for all that you blessed us with, dear Lord. In Christ's name, amen. All right, Kevin, you going to start us off here?
So good morning.
Good morning.
As Tim mentioned, we had a lot of very positive comments. So if you'll remember when we came back into the building for one of the first times, we had put together a lesson that had a theme to it with some songs. Now, what I hope is, with it being 46 degrees outside, is that this is going to help everybody warm up a little bit. I mean, this is probably the coldest Sunday we've had so far this fall. So if you want to be following along, let me encourage you to go ahead and open up to Matthew chapter 5. This is where our theme is going to come from today. And of course, you know, everybody knows Matthew chapter 5 is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, but it's also the Beatitude listing that Jesus lays out for us there. And that's going to be the focus of our theme this morning. You know, if you go back to the book of Genesis, you'll see that book ends with Jacob, one of the patriarchs, bringing his sons and his families to Egypt, because Joseph, his son, had become prime minister over Egypt. We know there was a famine in the land, and that by moving to Egypt, they would be able to survive that famine. You move over to the book of Exodus, however, it opens with a new pharaoh about 200 years later arising, who really didn't know about Joseph, didn't know about his family. And because the Hebrews are growing in population, The Pharaoh enslaves the Hebrews. He puts them to hard labor. Not only this, but in order to try to cap the population growth, he orders all baby boys who are born to be killed. And we know that under this circumstance, Moses was born, leaves the land. Later we learn that he returns to be the deliverer of his people as designated by God. Through the power of God, Moses performs miracles. He sets the Hebrews free, crosses the Red Sea, and brings the great crowd to Mount Sinai. And at Mount Sinai, Moses goes up on the mountain, receives the law, and delivers it to the people. Now, fast forward to the beginning of Matthew's gospel. Jesus is born. Herod begins to kill all the boys 2 years old and under. Jesus must leave the land, but returns as the deliverer of the people, as designated by God. Matthew records that Jesus performed miracles, healing those who were oppressed. Jesus passes through the waters of baptism and goes into the wilderness. And rather than failing in the wilderness as Israel did, Jesus succeeds the temptations of Satan. After passing through the waters, performing miracles, and coming to the wilderness with great crowds following him, Jesus, we learn in Matthew 5 and 1, went up on a mountain. So what exactly has Matthew set up for us here? Well, what happened when Moses went up on the mountain? He received the law and delivered it to the people. And Jesus, after performing the same works as Moses, being a great deliverer, goes up on a mountain to teach his followers. He's simply not going up there just so they can hear him. He's going up because he's about to describe in this sermon those who belong in the kingdom of God. This is the gospel of the kingdom and an explanation of the nature of his kingdom. We see this kingdom concept validated by the context that Matthew gives in the sermon. Just prior to Matthew 5, and you got to remember, man is the one that instituted the verses and the different chapter breaks. But in 4:17, we're told that Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And in 4:23, we read that Jesus is proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. We should expect the Sermon on the Mount to be the proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom, and as such, the necessity of the people to repent. This is the context and the foundation Matthew gives for this sermon. The Beatitudes, as they are called, which are from Matthew 5, 2 through 12, are meant to jar you from your complacency and lead you to question whether you're a part of that kingdom of heaven. Notice how the sermon begins. The first word from Jesus is the word blessed or blessed. And what does this word mean? Some translations try to simplify the word to mean happy. But this word really means much more than that. When you read about someone being blessed in the Old Testament, we are seeing that God's favor is upon them. God created Adam and Eve and blessed them. God's favor was on both of them. God blessed Abraham according to the scriptures. God blessed Isaac according to the scriptures. God blessed Jacob in Genesis. What does it mean? It meant that these people were privileged recipients of God's favor. To be blessed is to be in the best state of all. You have divine favor and delight. You have received the applause of heaven. You are enjoying the favor of God. To put all this together, a blessed person is someone who, because of God's love and grace, enjoys presently and is promised the future of God's favor. This morning, as we gather together, we're going to take a look further at the Beatitudes. We're going to sing songs that represent the different blessings of the Beatitudes. The favor of God, while its focus and fulfillment is in the future, begins now in Christ. This is the good news of the kingdom. Sinful people can receive God's favor. Sinful people can be blessed by God and enjoy the benefits of the kingdom of heaven.
All right, so our first song this morning is going to be the song, The Blessed Life. And it's been a bit since we've sung this song, so I hope you all remember this one. Go ahead and put up that first slide, Joe. So this song starts with the bass. So if you remember, blessed, blessed, blessed. So I know we got the strong bass. We've got that. So that's going to be the underlying current. And then it goes alto come in, then tenor, then soprano. So I'm going to start with the bass. And then when we get with the tenor, because our tenor is a little light today, I'll jump to the tenor, then soprano. So if I'm moving around, just keep on trucking. But this song really is perfect to start us with because it literally hits just about every one of the Beatitudes that we'll be reading and singing about here this morning. So we're going to sing The Blessed Life.
Blessed, blessed, blessed are we, whom God has blessed with mercy, comfort, and peace. When we have humbly sought his name to confess, hungered and sought his righteousness. And we are blessed, blessed, blessed are we, whom God has blessed with mercy, comfort, and peace. When we have humbly sought his name to confess, hungered and sought his righteousness. And we are poor in spirit, weak and gentle. We are blessed with happiness. And we are persecuted like our Lord and like
that may be the most difficult of the songs that we sing today. Let's go ahead and read through all of the Beatitudes real quickly, and then we'll take one at a time. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they that persecuted the prophets who were before you." It begins with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And blessed in spirit is the person who says that, "I've sinned against the Lord. I'm not worthy to be your son or belong in your kingdom." The opposite of being poor in spirit is the person who stands before God and tells God to give what I deserve, as if God has something that he owes us. Luke 13 and 14 reveals what poor in spirit looks like. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes up to heaven, but beat on his breast, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the man who humbles himself will be exalted.
Next song would be With Me, Lord. I cannot live without thee. We're going to sing the first and the fourth verse. Let's sing.
Be with me, Lord, I cannot live without thee. I dare not try to take one step alone. I cannot bear the load of life unaided. I need thy strength to lean myself upon. Be with me, Lord, when loneliness o'ertakes me, when I'm a sweep amid the fires of pain, and when shall come the hour of my departure for worlds unknown, O Lord, be with me then.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. God wants us mourning over sin. This is the kind of mourning that God desires of his people. The Beatitudes follow Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3, a prophecy about the coming Messiah and what he would do. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Notice that Christ has come to those that have been bound up, brokenhearted, and to comfort all who mourn.
Next song will be, He Carried My Sorrows. And we'll sing the first and the fourth verse.
He carried my sorrows, he bore my griefs, was pierced for transgressions, afflicted for peace. He knew by his stripes I am healed, through his blood I can kneel, for by his oppression I worship my King. My heart mourns his chastening, my tears still fall. My sin is a reason, he gave me his all. He knew by his stripes I am healed, through his blood I can kneel, for by his oppression I worship my King.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What does it mean to be meek? Some versions of the Bible use the word gentle. Others use humble. Various lexicons say of this Greek word, to not being overly impressed by a sense of one's self-importance. Gentle, humble, considerate, meek. Meekness means never asserting yourself for your own sake. Conceptually, the word carries the idea of restraint. That one has power over that which one does. The meekness of Jesus was prophesied by Isaiah in 42, 2 and 3 says, he will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice.
Next song will be Humble Yourself in the Sight of the Lord. If you're familiar with this song from previous books, this one has a few little different words in the verses, so beware, it's not the Amazing Grace words. This one has a couple different verses, so just stick with me in there. Let's sing.
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And he will lift you up. And he will lift you up. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Shout to the rock of our salvation. Know that the Lord is God. Know that the Lord is God. Come, let's bow our hearts in worship. Kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our great God. For he is our great God. So humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. For he will lift you up. And he will lift you up.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Hungering and thirsting is a desire that we all have. But in this case, I'm thinking it's not just a mild desire. To say that you're hungry for something doesn't mean that you just really care if you have it or not. To say that you are thirsting for something doesn't mean that you are presently content or satisfied. Hungering and thirsting speaks of having a deep craving, yearning, a passionate pursuit. The scriptures speak of having this hunger and thirst in a number of places. Psalms 42, 1 and 2 says, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?
Next song will be As the Deer. Let's sing both verses.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver only. You can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. The word mercy is used in the Gospel of Matthew to The word mercy is used in the Gospel of Matthew to refer to showing compassion, showing pity, and favor toward the suffering and the needy. We get a good feel of this when we think about and we read about the parable of the Good Samaritan. Remember, there was a man who fell among robbers and beaten severely. A priest walks by. A Levite passes by. Neither offers assistance. But a Samaritan comes to his aid, takes him to an inn, and pays for his care. Mercy is not just a feeling, but rather it causes an individual to act. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 6 says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus."
We're singing Amazing Grace. We're singing the first and the second verse.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The heart is not just about emotions, but refers to our will, our desire, our mind. Therefore, when Jesus says to those who belong to his kingdom are those who are pure in heart, Jesus is not asking people to be emotional, but rather Jesus is declaring that his people have purity of mind, purity of will, purity of desire. We must make a conscious decision to practice the instruction given by the writers of Hebrew in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, when he says, "Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
Be singing pure in heart, O God. Be singing the first and the third verse. Let's sing.
Pure in heart, O God, help me to be. May I devote my life wholly to thee. Watch thou my wayward feet, guide me with counsel sweet. Purer in heart, help me to be. Purer in heart, O God, help me to be. That I thy holy face one day may see. Keep me from secret sin. Reign thou my soul within. Purer in heart, help me to be.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Peacemakers, they don't create strife. They don't create hate. They don't create fights. They don't create divisions. They don't create disputes. Rather, they assist in reconciliation. Peace comes by creating love for the other that transcends the differences or permits reconciliation in spite of differences. Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. This command truly captures the essence of being a peacemaker. As much as depends upon us, we will be peacemakers with all, living peaceably with all. The Apostle Paul also told the Christians in Ephesus. In chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, he says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling, to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Be singing, love one another. Be singing the first and the second verse.
Angry words, oh, let them never from the tongue unbridled slip. May the heart's best impulse ever check them ere they soil the lip. Love one another, thus says the Savior. Children, obey the Father's blessed command. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey his blessed command. Love is much too pure and holy. Friendship is too sacred far. For a moment's reckless folly, thus to desolate and mar. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the Father's blessed command. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey his blessed command.
How you holding up? We only got 10 more songs to go, so everybody can get ready for that. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Remember that these Beatitudes are describing those who belong in the kingdom. Those who belong to the kingdom will endure persecution if they continue to live righteously. Seek the Lord and love Jesus even when the conditions are not favorable to do so. Follow Jesus without reservation, willing to suffer for him. This can only happen by denying ourselves and loving Jesus. Keep your eyes on the future. Your reward is great in heaven, and others just like you have suffered, some in much worse than what we will ever suffer. 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, 11 and 12 says, "The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him."
We're going to sing "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." Sing the first and the third verse. Let's see.
In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. When your enemy presses in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord.
Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus says to rejoice and be glad, because your reward is great in heaven. You're laying up for yourselves treasure in heaven when you're willing to stand up for your faith, when you're willing to live righteously. This is the strength that God gives us to stand. Eternal life is knowing God the Father and Jesus the Christ. This is real life. This is true life. Knowing God is life. Knowing God is the cause of eternal life. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you need to be. Or if you're here and you may be in need of the prayers of the brethren, we're here to assist. Sin separates us from God, and all to have the opportunity to repent. Eternal life is promised to those who abide in Christ. Don't leave this morning without remembering what Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The cross redeems us. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. We offer this invitation to all that may be in need. So please stand together as we sing.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed from his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed. with me doth continually dwell. Redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem. His child and forever I am. I know I shall see in his beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night.
In each of the Beatitudes, we talked about those who are the targets of the blessings. But as we gather around the table this morning, think about generally what is the second half of that verse. Because this table represents those who know that the kingdom of heaven is theirs. It represents those and can comfort. It represents the meek and their inheritance. It shows our hunger and our desire, our thirst, so that we can be satisfied. It's a symbol of mercy. It helps us and reminds us to be pure in heart, so that one day we can see God. It reminds us that like Christ brought peace, we need to bring peace. We can have that peace in Christ. And it helps us endure the persecutions that may come with being a Christian, because we recognize that our reward will be great in heaven. To the blessed, we're the privileged recipients of God's favor. Imagine if we were to keep a list of all the blessings that we received in this life. I suggest to you that it would take a lifetime to compile, and would be a rather exhaustive list. These emblems remind us of the blessings that we've gained through the body and the blood of Christ. The love of God has been poured out on us in the sending of his Son. John 1:14-16 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace.'" Will you pray with me, please? Our Father in heaven, what a great and glorious day that you've given to us to gather around the table this morning, to remember the love that you had for us, for the mercy that you have for us, for the grace that you've shown toward us. Father, we're thankful for your willingness to send your Son to die on the cross, to give us a hope of an everlasting life, to give us that reward that we all seek in heaven. Father, as we partake of these emblems this morning, help us to remember the bread. We ask you to bless the bread. Help us to remember the body that Jesus sacrificed for our behalf. Help us to remember the love that he showed by going to the cross, for the pain that he endured, for the power that you had in raising him from the dead. Father, in all that we do, we want to give glory and honor to your name, and we hope we do so this morning as we partake of this bread. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Dear God, as we come together again today to worship you, please help us to keep in mind the sacrifice that was given to us and the blood that was shed as we partake of the cup. And please help us keep in mind how wonderful and great the sacrifice is for us, that we can join you again in heaven one day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Did we accidentally overlook anyone? Your contribution, just by way of reminder, can be left in the offering box as you are leaving the building on the right-hand side. Thank you for being here this morning. You know, I love putting together a lesson like this. First one I did was just a couple of months ago, and I really enjoy putting this together. But I tell you, it can be rather difficult. But I know when I nail it, especially when I pick a song that goes with the point, because I see smiles. I mean, as the deer, could there have been any other song other than that one after reading that verse? And then, of course, there's always that song that gets announced and people kind of like. But it can be rather difficult, but I enjoy doing it and hope that you were able to get something out of it this morning. We're going to be led in our closing song and then a closing word of prayer, and glad everyone is out this morning, and it's always great to see you.
Echo what Kevin said, it is good to see everybody this morning, and I thank Kevin for putting that service together. Of course, I'm going to sing all day long, so I was good with that. I'm ready to keep going, but I always enjoy these, but we can learn so much, I think, when we put song with scripture. You put it together, it's a complete package, so I'm thankful that we were able to do this service today. We're going to close up with the first verse of Wonderful Words of Life. If there's something I think you can take from today, you know, when you talk about the Beatitudes, you read those and really absorb those. Talking about wonderful words of life, I mean, right there is a blueprint for how you should be living. All those things, blessed are, fill in the blank, because here it is. I mean, so much we can learn from that and what we studied this morning. Please take that to heart and continue to study that, because truly what we read and sang about this morning are definitely wonderful words of life. So we're going to sing the first verse of this song, and my dad has our closing prayer this morning. Let's sing.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words. wonderful words of life. Wonderful words of life.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all that we have as we have gone over the blessings that you have bestowed upon the world as it would be the creation that you created. And all mankind has those blessings. All things. Living, the plants, the animals, they too were created by thee, and they have the blessings of life, that physical life from the soil and from the earth and all things. So thank you, Father, so much. Ever in our lives, we continue to understand the blessings that you give us, the capability through those blessings of thy holy will. Overcome the temptations, the problems, and the things that become our life, that comes into our life. The thankful Father for the means and all the doctors and things that we can continue to be with and seek healing. And always pray, dear Lord, that you will bless us with that healing, the comfort for the deadly sins that are deadly things that come upon us in our health. We pray, Father, that we always seek and strive to do that which we can through the means that you have blessed us with. Dear Father, as we have gone through this lesson, we're ever mindful of all of those things. And as we have come together today with happiness, the joy that we have through thee and being able to worship together with brothers and sisters in Christ, we're thankful, Father, for so much, and that always encourages us and does us good, because so many of us are ailing with infirmities and problems in our lives, and I pray at this time for each and every one here that has those problems. We're well aware of it, and in my prayers always, I'm praying for each and every one. We pray, Father, as we now depart this building, we're so thankful that we have come together. We're thankful to see each and every one. We pray for those that are traveling and away today and are not able to be here with us, but are together with us in spirit. We pray, Father, for them and their safety and their care and their guidance in this time. We pray, Father, now as we depart this building, you will be with us. Continue to be with us always, as we know you will. And we pray that we can always look to thee and find that strength in our lives to overcome and have the joy of being able to be that Christian and have the great reward ahead of us if we are found faithful. And we do not like to use the word if, but we strive to overcome the temptations every day in our lives, the weakness that it brings to us. Be with us now, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
One thing real quick.